Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. Thank you so much for connecting with us again as we are connecting through this virtual portal that God has graced us with. Anybody excited about Jesus just to be saved and to know him and to know that he loves us? Just give God a hand clap of praise in the chat box. Just say amen, hallelujah, some emoticons, just to celebrate that God is still in charge in spite of everything that's going on. I used to go to a country church with my parents years and years ago, and I played the lead guitar, and one of my favorite songs was God is Still in Control of My Life. So much so, I took that title and put it on the front of my car, just saying God is still in control. Just no matter what was going on, no matter how much confusion was surrounding me, I knew the Lord was still working it out for our good. That is good news. I want to thank you, the body of Ebenezer, and those that are connecting with us outside of just our local church family. Thank you for being living epistles, being an example of who God is in your life. As we've been going through the series, The Life of the Believer, really examining what we should look like as saved people, people who have been born again. I want to encourage you to read along with us with the Bible reading plan. This is one of the most monumental ways I see us growing in the Lord together as we read the Word together, going through these 66 books that have wisdom and understanding and life stories to bring us closer and closer to God's perfect plan for our lives. Also on our website at ebcnc.com, so much information. Maybe you're here and you don't know who Jesus is. Man, go to our website. We're going to share the gospel later as we get into the Word. But we've got some videos there to encourage you. We've got Bible studies that present the gospel in a clear manner, again, that we can be more like Christ. I want to thank you so much for supporting us as we have so much that's going on during the week in our virtual connection. Monday manna, different types of teaching. Tuesday, we have noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis. On Wednesdays, on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke and just really embracing the teachings of Christ. On Thursdays, we have an in-person Bible study right in our sanctuary at 2700 West Vandalia Road, and that's at 6 o'clock where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. I love these letters that God has left us to encourage us again that we can grow in him. Also, continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and of course our 10 o'clock online where God is doing just amazing things, how he's reaching souls and saving souls and delivering people. I just want to lift up a few more announcements. Because of your giving, it says, so let each one purpose in his heart that we can be givers, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because of that type of giving, God has allowed us to do a lot of things within the community, and we are so grateful. One is coming up on the fifth Sunday. We're going to celebrate our graduates. So we have different graduates from different areas in their matriculation, and at 2 o'clock on that Sunday afternoon, on the fifth Sunday in April, we're going to celebrate their accomplishment that the Lord has allowed them to have. Also, want to remind you, coming up in the first Sunday in May is Founders Day. 123 years. Can you just say hallelujah in the chat, wherever you're sitting at, just say hallelujah. That is a blessing. So we just thank God for blessing us on this corner as we've been able to reach to our community and abroad. And we just thank him. So we're celebrating. And please put that on your calendar if you can to celebrate with us on that Sunday in our 8:45 or 10 o'clock online or 10:45 as we just lift up what God is doing in all of our lives. Well, I'm thinking about the Word. I'm ready to get in the Word. And I just thank God for this time that we can focus on him and we can really lift him up because our God is worthy of all the praise. We'll see you soon.
Scripture this morning comes from Acts, 4th chapter, verses 23 through 31. A prayer for boldness. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Amen. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth, so you came. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. Come on, y'all know this song. Here's the word. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. Oh, you thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, and I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth, hallelujah. Come on, help me sing. I'll worship you, I'll give you glory, because yeah, I can help and I can tell everyone glory, hallelujah, oh glory. Worship you, I'll give you praise, I'll give you glory. cause you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Because I am whole. Everyone I know, you thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Then you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You hung on the cross, cause you thought I was to die for. Yes, you did. You thought I was to die for. So I could be. You died so I could be free.
I know you're glad with me that he thought we were worth saving. I just thank God for his saving grace and what he's done through his son, Jesus Christ. If you're excited about that, can you just say hallelujah, amen again? Just lift up those emoticons or those hands wherever you are as we think about how good God has been to us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so, so much for saving us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that gift that you've given us to lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, as we enter into this word today, these scriptures, I ask you, God, that you will grow us to become those living epistles, that we truly can look like what you called us to be. Lord, I ask you to save souls. Maybe there's someone viewing and listening in that doesn't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Holy Spirit, would you please teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we praise you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in that chat, amen? We're back in this section, the life of the believer, and truly what we should look like as believers in this dark world where things are just strange. They're happening at a record pace. We are standing out as God's light. Remember that shines through us. Let's go back to our memory scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, starting at that second verse. We've been reading this aloud together. I might need to get a quick typer sometime to type it all out real quick, but please, I want you to speak this aloud with me as we go through this. We're trying to get it in our mind to get it down into our hearts. That 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at that second verse. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is, of the heart. Man, that's big as we really get this in our heart and we begin to walk this out. Today, we're going to one of my favorite books, and I say that a lot, but we just taught in this book in our in-person Bible study, and we are getting in today 1 John. Yes, 1 John, powerful book, and it really examines our heart. I want to focus in on that sixth verse, 1 John chapter 1 and that sixth verse. It reads, "If we say that we have fellowship with him," that's God, "and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Listen to that. That's a heavy scripture. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I want to speak from the title today, Walking in the Light. Yes, walking in the light. Just briefly, kind of summarizing this book, at least historical point. Most theologians hold that this book is written around 90 AD, thereabouts. And the author is John. He's an elder John, this apostle that has been used mightily of the Lord in amazing ways. Many theologians believe that he has outlasted all the others, and God has allowed him to be left on the earth to lift up a powerful word about him to the believers, to those who are striving to be transformed to be like Christ. If you were with us on last Sunday, we were in Peter, and Peter was really ministering to those Christians who were under persecution. In this particular book, there was a bit of rest, but still people were going through, and they really needed to embrace who Christ was in their lives. Also in this season of the church, many false teachers had arisen. They were called Gnostics, felt that they had some kind of special knowledge, and they were leading some of the people astray. So this elder John, who's in love with Jesus, is led by the Holy Spirit to really speak strongly on what the gospel is all about, what the believers should look like, and this transformative process that is taking place in all those who've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's jump in this 1 John 1:5. This is the message, he writes, which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Our first point is, we serve a God of light. We serve a God of light. As you enter into this book, you'll find out John is saying that we actually touched him. We walked with Jesus. We understood and heard those teachings directly from his mouth to our ears. And because of that, we feel that we have a right, as we're being led of the Holy Spirit, to really set the standard, set the bar of what Christ taught. In this 1 John 1:5, looking at that second part, he says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, walking in the light. Now, we're challenged with this whole dark thought that there is no darkness in God. There is no sin. Jesus came and dwelt amongst us, and he was without sin. We're going to talk about him being on that cross, but on that cross, he took on our sin because he was the sinless Lamb of God. The Greek thought of this whole process is no, not even one speck of darkness. Isn't that heavy? No, not even one speck of darkness is in God. The CEV version actually captures this in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father who created all the lights in heaven. I love that. He is always the same and never makes dark shadows by changing. Even as we're ministering to you, there are a lot of things that have to be done in the studio so we can connect virtually. And one big thing is to have enough light so there are not many shadows that are around. And it is tough so often. And so the only way that we can combat that is to have a lot of light. And it's the same picture with God. In him is total light, so there are no shadows that are being cast. Because he is God, he expects us to walk in the light. Walking in the light, Hebrews 4:13 really takes us to another level. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The believer understands this as we walk in the light, that there's no dark places. Yes, the examination is on, not to make us afraid, but to bring us into a reverent state of thanking God that he walks with us and he talks with us. The Gospel of John affirms this in John chapter 1 and 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Can you put in the chat, just put light, the light of men. This is so important because the enemy, the devil, is known as the prince of darkness, the prince of this world that literally brings in deceptions. John 1:5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's what we are as we're living this life as believers, as we're walking in this place that we call this terra firma, this earth. that we are allowing God to shine through us. We're flashlights in a dark, dark world. Any amens out there? People are looking for light in you on your jobs. They're looking for light in you as you're driving your cars. They're looking for light in you wherever you go, that we can proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Look at 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that good news? Here's our next point. We fellowship. Yes, we fellowship. I love this part because fellowship is critical. Over these last few years, we've been challenged with that, at least in the physical fellowship, simply because of COVID. It's still here. There are other things, and God has allowed us to have virtual connections that we can connect, and our chats that we can kind of type. That makes a connection. But as believers, there is a desire to fellowship one with another, as iron sharpens iron. Matthews, a popular blogger, he says this: a man once told of his fellow shipmates in the Navy defined fellowship as two fellows on a ship. Fellowship is what defines us and can divide us too, but in Christ, it unifies us. Now, this is so important. It unifies us. We are unified in the Lord because we are walking in the light and we fellowship. 1 John 1:6 said, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that's God. John is bringing this. He said there are some prerequisites. If we're fellowshipping with God, then we're connected with our brethren, and walk in darkness, we lie. The question is, are we fellowshipping one another? Are we just saying that we are connected with God, but yet we don't want to connect with anybody else? Then we don't have the ability literally to manifest God to this world if we don't want to fellowship. This is critical. Now, as we walk in the light, this walking in the light means that I'm not just by myself. It means that because God has allowed us to have a body, we're walking together. I realize everybody may not be at the same state. Everybody may not be at the same pace, but we have God who is in us that brings us together. I'm going to talk about that a little later. And we recognize that God's grace that's working in you is working in me, and he is changing us to be more like him, to walk in the light. Look at this, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, so we're walking with him, walking as he'd walk, we have fellowship one and with another. Notice this same theme continues on. We fellowship. We long to be with another. We want to encourage one another. We want to make sure that our brothers and sisters in Christ are all they can be within the Lord. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Isn't that wonderful? Walking in the light as believers, we're to help others. We're to assist others. We're supposed to make other people's lives better. Any hallelujah amens out there? Hebrews 10:25, this is critical. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Even if you find yourself and we're connected here virtually, and maybe your immune system is going through and you can't get out, try to get a small group of people, somebody that you can connect with and talk to on a physical state, on a physical level, because this is going to help your growth. No man and no woman is an island. We need others around us to lift us up, as said earlier. Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher in the 1800s, brings this out. Satan always hates Christians' fellowship. It is his policy to keep Christians apart. Anything which can divide saints from one another he delights in. He attaches far more importance to godly intercourse than we do. Yes, the enemy knows when the saints get together, when we're on one accord and we begin to talk about God's word, there's something that happens. That's why often when you get together with people, many times the word of God doesn't come up. We can talk about politics. We can talk about the state of the world. We can talk about crime, violence, gun violence. But when you begin to talk about the word of God, change takes place. People's minds begin to focus on the right things. And that's why the enemy attacks us. We fellowship. We walk in the light. Look at this 1 John 1:8. John begins to minister even in a higher level. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Here's the point. We recognize we are sinners saved by grace. Yes, we recognize we are sinners saved by grace. In the people of God at this time, these false teachers that come in and literally they were putting forth doctrines that of this special knowledge that people didn't have any sin. And it was manipulating the people in one sense. It was allowing the enemy to come in, but the scriptures are clear and plain that we need a savior. God put this on my heart. In order to have a savior, you need to be saved from something. Any hallelujahs? In order to have a savior, you need to be saved from something. And guess what that something is? Sin. We were conceived in iniquity. As believers, we recognize Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. We recognize that we need a savior. We're walking in the light. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We own that. We realize that. We are told what we are without Christ, what we are like without Christ. But please understand, the scriptures are clear that without Christ, we are nothing. Isaiah 64:6 brings this out. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Can you put in the chat, filthy rags? We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have then taken us away. Without Jesus, without the powerful Holy Spirit on the inside, that's what we look like. And now we can understand that salvation process in a more powerful way, simply knowing without Christ in our lives, without God in our lives, we would be nothing. Any amens? Isaiah 64:7 says, and there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Isaiah begins to, that eagle-eyed prophet, to look in and really see the state of mankind without the saving grace of God. We recognize we are sinners saved by God's grace. Because of this, as believers, we recognize that God is working in us, and so we're not quick to judge. I hope you heard me there. We're not quick to judge other people, because we know if it had not been for the Lord on our side, Jesus taught this in Matthew 7:1. Please walk with me on this. Judge not that you be not judged. As John is teaching those believers that there is sin, we embrace that there's sin in our lives, but we don't continue in sin, and we recognize that God is a forgiver of our sins. Matthew 7:2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Matthew 7:3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your own eye, from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We recognize that we are sinners saved by grace. We're walking in the light. John, as he's ministering to the saints, he's like, don't get caught up in that false teaching. Yes, you came from a dark lifestyle. Yes, you make mistakes, but you're depending on the power powerful saving hand of the Lord. There are many examples of scripture in scripture of people who thought that they didn't have sin. They felt like they were at a higher level. The Pharisees had an attitude. I want to pick up Matthew 19 and 16 just to pull out one person who had this attitude. I'm good. He says, "Now behold, one came to him and said to Jesus, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" Matthew 19, 17. "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" So now this young man has come to him. He's like, I got it together. Tell me what else I need to do. Remember, we're walking in light. We understand. We're saved by God's grace. Matthew 19, 18. He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbors yourself." Now, I'm just being honest with you. As we just look at that statement, we understand, man, we are saved by grace. All of us have fallen short of that. But notice Matthew 19, 20, this young man felt he had it together. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" He was saying, "Jesus, you know what? I don't have any sin. I have covered that. I am good." Matthew 19, 21, I'm talking about walking in the light. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect," can you put in the chat perfect? Wherever you're at, just say perfect, perfect. "Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." I'm talking about walking in the light, man. As I think about this, we embrace the fact that we're saved by grace, Matthew 19, 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Please understand, as we think about walking in the light, what makes us strong in the Lord is the fact that we know our weaknesses. We know that this flesh fights against us. Are there any witnesses? Just put hallelujah in the chat, wherever you're saying, say hallelujah. All of our flesh wants to rise up and take us in a different life. And so John is encouraging these believers, embrace the fact that you've been brought out of sin. Embrace the fact that we have one who has saved us out of sin. And then embrace the fact that when we do sin, that God is right there. We don't run away from God. We run to him. That's why this next verse is paramount to understanding this, and John brings it home strongly. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's good. It says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Here's the point. We confess our sins. Yes, we confess our sins. We're saved by God's grace. We recognize that. That's how we walk in the light. But we also recognize when we do mess up, we are going to confess that. This is talking about an intimate fellowship with God. This is talking about being real. Remember, he is light. He already knows when we mess up. He knows all of those things that are going on. So we're quick to go to him and say, "God, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be better. I don't want to continue in this." The contemporary English version captures our battle with sin in Psalms 119 and 11. It says, "By your teachings, Lord, I am warned. By obeying them, I'm greatly rewarded. None of us know our faults. Forgive me when I sin without it. Don't let me do wrong on purpose, Lord, or let sin have control over my life." Amen. "Then I will be innocent and not guilty of some terrible fault." Walking in the light, we confess our sins. We understand that. Psalm 19, 14, "Let my words and my thoughts be pleasing to you, Lord, because you are my mighty rock and my protector." Please see, you understand what's going on here. As we realize that we are weak without the Lord, we are quick to say, "God, I am sorry. I have messed up." There's one particular portion of the scripture I want to bring out today with David that found himself. We're talking about walking in the light. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside to really empower us. We've said that a lot, but he empowers us to walk more and be transformed more like Christ. But David was before the Messiah, but he recognized the sin in his life, and he confessed it when Nathan the prophet came to him. Psalm 51:1 really brings out how contrite our heart should be. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Theologians hold that David is actually confessing his sin of his adultery with Bathsheba and assisting in murder of her husband. This was hideous, but he comes to the point of realizing, I cannot run from God. I need God's grace. I need to confess this to God. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. John, from the New Testament perspective, is saying, as we walk closer to the Lord, we confess our sins, we are able to allow more of God's light to come within us. Purge me, David says, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. I love this 10th verse. Create in me. Somebody say, create in me. A clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, walking in the light. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. We confess our sins. Yes, we embrace that fact, so now we can be sensitive to others who are going through. But this is wonderful news as we are in the New Testament side, and we piggyback on this wonderful thought John is giving to his believers in 1 Peter. Peter does the same thing by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, 2:24, who himself bore, that's Jesus, our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. That is good news. That's the only way that we can walk in the light, by embracing what Christ has already done. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your souls. Man, I want to sum this up. Let's go to 1 John 2:1-2, because it really ties up this thought that John is getting across as he's being led of the Holy Spirit. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Can you put in the chat? I'm going to hit this real hard. May not sin. The whole thought of walking in light, that we may not sin. Yes, we do make mistakes. Yes, we fall down, but we get back up. The totality of this book is that we are not supposed to live in sin. If you find yourself living in sin, then you've got to ask yourself, are you saved? Yes, the believer does mess up. We make mistakes, but we're quick to go to God and say, God, make me better. God, thank you for seeing something in me that I don't even see. And every day, as the old saints, get sweeter and sweeter than the day before. I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Can you scream out advocate? Put in the chat advocate. That advocate means we got a lawyer. We got an attorney on our side through Jesus, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. Yes, he is our sacrifice. He is our everything for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Isn't that good news? Here's the last point. A life that pleases God. Yes, a life that pleases God. Let's look closely at this scripture, 1 John 2:1 again. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have that advocate. We have that one that comes alongside, the paraclete. He's our attorney that pleads our case. Why? Because we're quick to go to him to confess our sins, to embrace that we're saved by grace. We want to live a life that pleases him as we're living this life of a believer. God's desire for us, again, saying is to live a life of righteousness. But the only way that we can do that is through his son, Jesus Christ. But please understand, Christ understands the what comes against us. He knows that the enemy is coming against us. Paul the Apostle gives us an example of this struggle of our flesh and our spirit. Anybody know that? The flesh is always rising up. Romans 7:14, Paul writes this. He said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Yes, he goes on. He said, "For I am doing what I do not understand, for what will I to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. If then I do what I will not do to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Some, we understand that struggle, but we're walking in the light. Stick with me. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And he cries out in that 24th verse, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" We realize there is a struggle. We understand that we're up against a lot, but we've got an advocate. We've got somebody that's pleading our case. But stay with me, this 25th verse. "I thank God through Jesus Christ." Can you put Jesus and scream out, "Jesus Christ our Lord? So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." But he's not finished. He's lifting up Christ even higher. And as we walk in the light, we recognize this. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're in Christ Jesus, just give God a hand clap of praise. Put some emoticons on that. "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, we flip the script as we're walking in the light. We understand that our flesh has issues. We understand that our flesh has failures. But we've decided by the power and the saving grace of God to walk in the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." I'm telling you, this is good news. John is ministered to the people of his time, and Paul is saying here, please, we do not give up. We can walk in the light because we understand what God's saving grace has done in our lives. Please understand, it's all through Jesus Christ. That fourth verse, "that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We got to walk in the light. But please understand, this is what Christ did for us. Any hallelujahs? He came from heaven to earth, walked among men. He gave us an example of a sinless life, but we find him being betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He did nothing wrong. He was beaten. He was bruised in his body. He was spit on, goes to the cross of Calvary. They put holes in his hands, holes in his feet, all for us so that we could walk in the light. There on the cross of Calvary, we talked about it, carrying our sins and bearing our griefs. He dies. When he dies, please hear me. It says that all of a sudden the sun refused to shine as the S-O-N died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave and there he lied. All of a sudden as he's in that grave, people walk away from him. They think the light is gone. But I know the end of the story. He stayed there the first day, the second day. But there ought to be some shouts early Sunday morning. The light got up with all power and all glory. And now is seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for us that we as the people of God can walk in the light, that this world can see that God is real, that he uses broken vessels, but because he is the potter, he can mold us and shape us. As Tony sang earlier, he thought we were worth saving. Isaiah said we weren't worth much of anything, but because of God's grace and his mercy and his redeeming power, there ought to be some praise, some worship right now, some tears coming down your face that God saved you in spite of yourself. And because of that, we have a mandate to walk in the light. As John ministered to those people of his time, we must minister to those that are around and show that God is still doing magnificent things. Without him, we would be nothing. If you don't know Christ today, I'm telling you, he is everything. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, scriptures are clear, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift from him. Would you accept that gift today? Oh, he's wonderful. I've accepted him, and he continues to do wonderful, wonderful things, changing me from the inside out, changing believers from the inside out to make us more like him, that we can walk in the life, that the life of the believer, as we're called as believers, that people can see that there is a difference to the saints out there. Maybe you find yourself failing. Maybe there's something in your life, unforgiveness, something that you've allowed to seep in, that the enemy's come in and presented it to you and you embraced it. But because you're saved, you understand, I cannot live like this. That the spirit is grieved, but the spirit is screaming out for you to confess your sins. And you know, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I encourage you, as we prepare to pray, that you confess that sin to God. Say, God, help me. I don't want to go back. I don't want to stay where I am. And I encourage you, once we say amen, you let it go and you walk in the power of God and walk in a new day, walking in the light. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this refreshing message. As John spoke to those saints, that they could recognize that their faults and their issues were washed away through Jesus Christ, but they also could embrace the fact that they did make mistakes. But they did not live in that sin, but they could come to one who was able to forgive and cleanse them. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for believers that are happy and excited about salvation and that we can walk in the light as examples, Lord. We thank you for that. And I pray for the believers who find themselves convicted today, Lord, that some things that you've brought out within their lives, even as the message says, we were going through the scriptures and they're looking at themselves and saying, God, I'm so sorry. And I pray that today they confess to you, God. Cry out to you, and you said that you're faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse them, Lord, that they can walk in your light. Thank you, God, for sound doctrine. Thank you for your powerful word. Thank you for being the God of light. And in you, there is no shadow of turning. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. Yes, Lord, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Stay thou nearby. temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, O